Okay, today's daf is Shavuos daf Chav Tes. We're finishing the third parak of Masech Shavuos today, Be'ezus Hashem. We left off right in the middle of something. We discussed yesterday that there was this story where this fellow Eifa, ran into his brother Avimi, and they were both sons of Rachva de Pumbedisa, Rashi pointed out, and Eifa was just coming back from yeshiva, from the Beis Medrash of Rabbah, where he learned all about Masechta Shavuot. So his brother decided he was going to give him a quick bechina on the spot on various inyanim Masechta Shavuot. So he asked him three kashas on the or three shailas relating to Shavuot, and Eifa was 0 for 3. He answered none of them correctly according to his brother. So the last of the three is what we're going to discuss right now. The last of the three was where his brother asked him, what if a person takes a shvua, shlo ochal eser vitesha? A person takes a shvua, he's not going to eat 10 of something, and also a shvua that he's not going to eat 9 of something. So once he took the shvua that he's not going to eat 10, is there any value or any meaning to the shvua that he's not going to eat 9? How many shvuas has he violated if he goes and he eats 10? So Eifa responded, he's only chayav for one shvua. So his brother said, no, you're wrong. Because in the first Shavua he said he's not going to eat 10, which implies that eating 9 is not included in the Shavua. When he then takes another Shavua not to eat 9, it's something new, it's something additional that wasn't already included in the previous Shavua. And therefore, if he goes and he eats 10, he's in violation of both Shavua. So we are 4 lines from the bottom, Chav Chesam Beis. Amar Abaye says, no, Zimnin de Mishkachas la Hada Eifa. Sometimes we could find that Eifa is actually correct, that if a person takes a Shavua Shlochel Eser Vitesha and he eats 10, he's in fact only going to be Chayiv once. How so? Kedemar, like we were taught, like Rabbah taught the following way. It's no coincidence that it's Rabbah. Eifa just learnt Shavuos by Mesechas Rabbah, so Eifa wasn't coming out of nowhere. He learnt it by Rabbah. Da Amar Rabbah, Shavua Shlo Ochel Te'enim Va'anavim. Rabbah taught if a person takes a Shavua that he's not going to eat, Te'enim Va'anavim. So it means that the Shavua is on both, that he's not going to eat both of them, but either one, L'chara, is okay. V'chazer Va'amar, Shavua Shlo Ochel Te'enim. And then he said a shvur that he's not going to eat te'enim. Only te'enim is included. So Rashi points out over here, right? If you look at Kiddemar, Rabba Damar Mar, Shavuos Shalochel Te'enim Anav Miyachad B'Yom Echad, right? That the first Shavuos is that he's not going to eat both together on one day. Aval Te'enim L'chudayhu Ochel, but he would eat Te'enim alone. V'chazvam Shavuos Shalochel Te'enim, and then he takes a Shavuos that he's not going to eat Te'enim alone. V'i hava Ochel Te'enim V'Anav B'Yom Echad, hay mechayiv tarti. If he was going to eat both Te'enim and Anav on the same day, then he'd be chayiv both. V'chiyachel Te'enim chayiv Ashur Basra. Whenever he eats the te'enim, he's chayiv for the second shvua. V'chiyad ha'mashum l'alaba anavim chayiv ha'kamaisa. And then when he goes and he eats anavim again on that same day, he's going to be chayiv on the first shvua. So anyway, v'achal te'enim v'hivrish karban. But what if he doesn't go ahead and just eat te'enim v'anavim? In Achnami, if he would do that, he'd be chayiv twice. But what does he do? He eats te'enim, where he's now violated the second shvua, and he's then mafrish a karban on eating the te'enim. And only after being mafresh a karbon on the te'enim, then he goes ahead and he eats the anavim. Havilahu anavim chatzi shir. So the eating of the anavim is considered only chatzi shir. It's not mitstarif with the te'enim that he had previously eaten that same day, because he was already mafresh a karbon on those te'enim. V'achatzi shir lo mechayev karbon. And you're not going to be chayev a separate karbon for a chatzi shir. And therefore, if it was right, you're only going to be chayiv one carbon in this case. So hachinami in our case as well. Now obviously Rabbah never taught about the 9 and 10, or the 10 and 9 rather. Rabbah taught about this case of the Te'enim v'Anavim, but sometimes the Rebbe teaches principles and the Talmud Chaps, he knows how to apply those principles to similar cases. So here as well, hachinami, kugon da amr shvur shlochel eser, v'chazav amr shvur shlochel tesha. A person first takes a shvur, he's not going to eat 10, and then he takes another shvur, he's not going to eat 9, v'achal tesha v'hifrish karban, he eats 9 and then he's mafresh a karban, meaning if he ate 10 right off the bat without being mafresh any karban in between, he just ate 10, so of course Eifa would be wrong and be chayv twice. But maybe he ate 9 and he's mafresh a karban, and then he ate the 10th, so that 10th stands alone. It doesn't connect to the first 9. Havila asiris chatzishir v'chatzishir lo mechayiv. So that 10th is really only one. It's only chatzishir. And a person person is not going to be chayiv on a chatzi shir. Fine, period. Mishnah. Ezui shvur shav. What is the definition of a shvur shav? Nishba l'shanos asu yadu ala adam. Person takes a shvur to change that which is known to man, meaning he takes a shvur to not change it, but to say that that which is known is not true. So he takes something that's obvious and says that it's in fact not true. So it's a ridiculous shvur. For instance, Amar ala amud shal evan shu shal zahav, he says about a pillar of stone that it's made out of gold. Anyone who's looking at it could see that it's stone and that it's not gold. But this man says that it's gold, so that's considered shvur shav. Or for instance, vala ish shahu isha. You have to realize the Mishnah wasn't written in the 21st century, so things like this used to be obvious. He says about a man that the man is a woman. So again, it's obviously not so. Vala isha shahu ish, or about the woman that the woman is a man. Nishba al davar she'ef shelo, or he swears about something that he can't do, that it's not possible. Im lo reisi gamel shapareach ba'avir. He says, if not that I've seen a camel flying in the air. So the Gemara will explain what the lashon of im lo reisi. Shouldn't it be shavur shereisi gamel shapareach ba'avir? So the Gemara will get into that a little bit. Vim lo reisi nachash kikuras be'sabad. If I didn't see a snake who is as wide as the beam of an olive press, which apparently is also very difficult to find. Amar le'edim bo v'hi'iduni shvur shlo ne'idcha. Let's say he says to Edim, I want you to come to be made for me, and they say shvur, we're not going to come to be made for you. So that's a problem. That's a shvur shav, because the halacha is once someone subpoenas you to court, you have to go. Once the guy says you have to come and be made for me, it's a mitzvah to go and be made for him. So you can't say shvur shlo ne'idcha, as Rashi points out, bittel mitzvah hi haynu davar she'i afshar. That's a bittel mitzvah. That's something that's efshar, that's something that a person is not allowed to do. Now, Rabbi Kivega writes in his Chidushim, what if he never said to the Edim, bo v'iduni? The Edim are just made on their own. They just come over to the guy and say, by the way, we're taking a shvur that we're not going to be made for you. So Rabbi Kivega says, in that case, the shvur is going to be chal. Even if later on he does go and is toveya them, still, since they preempted his tevia with their shavua, the shavua is going to be chal. Because the whole mitzvah of being made, says Rabbi Kivager, is only when you're subpoenaed. The whole mitzvah being made is only when you're asked to come to Beis Din. If you are never asked to come to Beis Din, then there is no mitzvah lahein. And mela, the shavua is going to be chal, because their shavua covered any situation, bein ba'ofen sheyitvel. Whether it's a situation that he's going to be Tavea or not going to be Tavea, their Shvur covered all situations, and therefore the Shvur is Chal, even on the Dvar Mitzvah. So that's Rabbi Kiveger's Diyuk, that it has to be that Amar Le'edim Bo V'iduni. Says the Mishnah Vayter, Nishpa Levatel is a Mitzvah. What if a person takes a Shvur that he's going to be Mevatel a Mitzvah? How so? What kind of Mitzvah? Shalo Laso Sukkah. A Shvur that he's not going to make a Sukkah. The obvious kasha, everyone asks, shalo la'aso sukkah? Shalo leishiv basukkah? What's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is not asiyas asukkah. The mitzvah is yeshivas asukkah. So why does it say that's the example of shvua? Shalo la'aso sukkah? So this is a major sugya, a very interesting topic in terms of whether the mitzvah of building, whether there is such a mitzvah of building a sukkah, of making a sukkah. And there are major nafkaminas whether it's a mitzvah to make the sukkah or not. We know that it's certainly kosher if you don't make it. If someone else makes the sukkah, it's certainly kosher. Even a sukkah's ganvich is kosher. Even a sukkah made by a guy is going to be a kosher sukkah. So what's the issue? The issue is, should you go out of your way to go and make your sukkah, or is it okay to ask somebody else or hire somebody else or just use somebody else's sukkah? Is it something that a person should go out of their way to try and do? So the primary source that everyone quotes on this is the Shiltos. And the Shiltos was made famous by the Netziv's comment on the Shiltos. The Shiltos in Devarim, Shilto Kuf Samach Tes, says, Mechayvin Beis Yisrael Lemevid Matalalta Umesiv Bashiva Yomin, that the Jewish people are chayiv to make a sukkah and sit in it for 7 days. Dichsiv Chag HaSukkos Ta'aselecha Shivas Yomim Uksiv besukas teishvu shivas yamim. The Shiltas quotes two psukim. One pasuk says ta'aselcha, that you have a mitzvah to make it. Another pasuk says to sit in it. So those are two different mitzvahs the Shiltas seems to understand. So the Netziv, in his comment to the Shiltas, says that if you look in Rashi, Meseches Makos and Daf Chesamid Aleph, it's also mashma this way. The Gemara over there says that the Shliach Beis Din that kills Bishogeg is part from going to Galus, because the pasuk says Asher Yavo Esrei Bayar, that we say Machat Hivaseitzim Rishos Af Kol Rishos, just like the case where you go to Galus, that's described in the Chumash, is where a person is stam chopping wood for no mitzvah purpose, just stam chopping wood. So too, any time you're doing a Devar HaRishos and you kill, that's when you would go to Galus. So the Gemara says, how do you know that the guy chopping wood in the case in the Chumash is just doing a Devar HaRishos? Maybe Chativa says him to Sukkah. He's chopping wood for a Sukkah, and that's a mitzvah. So the Gemara answers, no. If he were to find wood already chopped, there's no mitzvah to chop the wood. So Mela, it's not a mitzvah to chop the wood. There's no, even for a Sukkah, it's not a mitzvah to chop the wood. Zakt Rashi on that Gemara, She'en HaChativa mitzvah, Ella Asiyas HaSukkah. It's not the chopping of the wood that's a mitzvah, rather it's the making of the sukkah that's the mitzvah. So that Rashi also implies that making a sukkah is a mitzvah. So the Netziv in his parish over there says, no, making a sukkah is a hechsher mitzvah. But there are two types of hechsher mitzvah. There's plain vanilla, regular hechsher mitzvah, and then there's a hechsher mitzvah, ksuva bekra, a higher level hechsher mitzvah, where it's a hechsher mitzvah that's actually explicit in the pasuk that you have to do that hechsher mitzvah. And he says that's what making sukkah is. It's a hechsher mitzvah, ksuva bekra. And that's why the Yerushalmi, Masecha Sukkah, says that you make a bracha on asiyas sukkah, because a hechsher mitzvah, ksuva bekra, could be so important that you can even make a bracha on it according to the Yerushalmi. Not only that, says the Netziv, even the Bavli would hold mitzvah bo yosar mi b'shlucha applies to a hechsher mitzvah ksuva b'kra. So it's better to do it yourself than to have a shliach go ahead and do it. So when it comes to gedilim tasalacha, for instance, making tzitzis, so can you wear tzitzis that were made by somebody else? Of course you can. But since it's a hechsher mitzvah ksuva b'kra, better for you to make it yourself than to rely on someone else who made it, to rely on tzitzis that were made by somebody else. Same is true by sukkah. Since it's a hechsher mitzvah ksuva b'kra, better to make it yourself than to rely on somebody else. Now, you don't have to make the whole thing yourself. You can have somebody else put on the walls, and you put on the schach. Al shem schach kriya sukkah. So the whole thing is called the sukkah based on the schach. So you put a few pieces of schach on, and that's also a kiyum of this netziv. The Chalkas Yoav, in asked the Avnei Nezer. Chalkas Yoav is a Talmud of the Avnei Nezer. He has a very similar style to the Avnei Nezer. So Chalkas Yoav says that he has a raya that making a sukkah is not a mitzvah. Because the Gemara in Makos says, how do I know that chopping the wood is not a mitzvah? Chopping the wood for a sukkah is not a mitzvah. Imatza chatov eino chotev. If you find it already chopped, you don't have to go and chop more wood, right? The Gemara says over there, imatza charish eino charish. How do I know charisha is lav mitzvah? Because if you find it plaid, you don't have to. Any time, if you find it done already, you don't have to go ahead and do it again. That, by definition, is not a mitzvah. So he says, we know the halacha is sukkah's ganvach is kasher. If you find a guy built a sukkah, you can go ahead and sit in it. You don't have to build another sukkah. So the Avnei Nezer, his Rebbe, said in Orach Chaim Simtaf Nun Tes Os Yud, says misvari. You're right, but what are we supposed to do? It's an afana mishnah maseches shvuos taf chavtes. The mishnah says nishba levatel is a mitzvah shlolasa sukkah. So you can quote all the sources, all the svar as you want. Mishnah calls it a mitzvah, so you have to say that it's a mitzvah on some level. It doesn't seem that we pass in that way. Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tav Resh Mem Aleph, Sif Aleph says that we should. It was ro'i that we should make a shechiyanu on asiyas hasukkah, on building a sukkah, but we're so mech on the shechiyanu that we make on kiddush. And the Mishnah Berurah says, well, why don't we make a shechiyanu then on other hechsher mitzvahs? For instance, making a shofar, writing a megillah. So he says, no, because shofar megillah, it's not for that year's mitzvah. Those last you forever. So it's not evident that it's dafka for that year's mitzvah. So that's why it's not on the shofar megillah. Why don't we make shechiyanu on setting up Hanukkah candles? Because when you're setting it up, it could be that you're setting up any light, stam, to light up your house. It's not so evident that it's for the sake of the mitzvah. That's how the Mishnah Berurah writes. So based on that Mishnah Berurah, it sounds like there's nothing magical about building a sukkah. It's the same as any other hechsher mitzvah. And you need to give a teretz why there's a havamina to make a shachiyanu on a sukkah and on the other. It sounds like it's like any other hechsher mitzvah. I, what do you do if it's only a hechsher mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah, with the pasuk chag hasukos ta'aseh lecha, it says to make. So Chassam Sofer points out in Yerideas from Reishayin Aleph, ta'aseh is not going on the sukkah, it's going on the chag. That you have to make the chag, you have to do whatever you can to celebrate the chag, but it's not going on the pasuk pshan pasuk, it's not going on the sukkah itself. What do we do with our Mishnah? Okay, so our Mishnah is much more difficult. So what we have to say is that based on the context of the guy's Shvua, it's he doesn't know that he's going to be able to borrow a sukkah from somebody else. And when he's being nishba not to make a sukkah, it's ki'ilu he's saying that he's not going to have a sukkah. Because his only chance at having one is making one. You have to say that it must be based on context. Otherwise, it sounds like the Mishnah is saying that a taka is a mitzvah to build a sukkah. So anyway, he's nishba levatel is a mitzvah, for instance, not to make a sukkah. V'shalo lita lulav, not to take lulav, says the Mishnah. V'shalo laniach tefillin, or not to put on tefillin. Zu is what we discussed. What if he takes that shvur, shalo laniach tefillin hayom, after he's already put on tefillin once in the morning? Is that nishba levatel is a mitzvah? Says a prima, bir alacha, quotes a prima gadim. Who's not sure what the mitzvah d'arais of tefillin is. Is the mitzvah d'arais of tefillin to wear it for a second, wear it once a day for a second, or is the mitzvah d'arais of tefillin to wear it kol hayom? And the prima gadim seems to come to the maskana that the chiyuv d'araisa is for a moment. The chiyuv d'araisa is just to wear it for a moment. Mitzvah min amuvchar midaraisa is to wear it kol hayom. So, depending on what you would hold in terms of nishba levatel mitzvah, sounds like if you hold like the prima gadim, the real chiyuv is only for one moment. So it sounds like if he already wore tefillin that day and he's nishba not to wear it again, so then the charet shouldn't. But it's tali on that issue. It's tali on what you understand the real mitzvah d'oraisa is: to wear it all day or to wear it for a moment. Now we don't wear it all day anyway, but that's for other concerns. The Gemara says in a couple of places that if a person can't keep a guf naki, then they can't wear tefillin when you're not able to keep a guf naki. If a person is going to have a hesach hadas, so then you can't wear tefillin. The exact definition of a hesach hadas is subject to considerable debate, because after all, the Gemara says in Masechta Sukkah that you can doze off in your tefillin, you can nap in your tefillin, you just can't sleep for real sleep in your tefillin. So if you can doze in your tefillin, that's not a hesach hadas. So exactly how to define hesach hadas is a little bit tricky. Hesach hadas sounds not just that you're not thinking about your tefillin, but that you're actually having anti-tefillin thoughts, some negative thoughts that you shouldn't be having in your tefillin. So because of those concerns, we don't wear tefillin all day. It doesn't explain so well why we don't wear tefillin at mincha. That's a better kasha. But okay, we'll leave it at that for now. Maybe we'll talk about it some other time. Zui shvur shav shechayav al zon makos shal shigasa pater. Any of these cases is a shvur shav for which if a person does it b'mezid, he's chayav malkos. If a person does it b'shoge, he's going to be pater. Shvur shaochel kikar zu shvur shlo achalna. Let's say a person takes two shvuos, one that I'm going to eat this kikar and one that I'm not going to eat it. Harishon shvuos bitoy, so the first one is a regular shvuos bitoy. Vashniya shvuos shav, the second one is shvuos shav, because once he took a shvuah that he's going to eat this kikar, it's now a mitzvah for him to eat this kikar. When he takes a shvuah shalol chalna, it's like a mitzvah not to wear tefillin. It's a shvuah rather not to do the mitzvah that he's taking. So that's a shvuos shav. Achla, and therefore if he eats it in fulfillment of his original shvuah, Avral Shvua Shav, he's only violated Shvua Shav, which was the second Shvua. Lo Achla, but if he does not eat it, Avral Shvua's Bitui, then he violates Shvua's Bitui by not doing what he originally said he was going to do. So either way, he's in big trouble at that point in time. Now this idea of Nishba Levatel's Mitzvah, the Ritva is a phenomenal Chiddush. The Ritva says, what if a person is Nishba Levatel Mitzvah Saseh Drabanan? Not a mitzvah d'oraisa. So he says he's not going to do mitzvah seder rabbanan. He's not going to eat matzah on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Pesach. He's not going to eat moror bizman hazeh, where moror bizman hazeh is only d'rabbanan. He's not going to drink dal v'kosos. Ritva gives all these examples. Chala shvua, so says the Ritva. Then his shvua is going to be chal. What's the svara? Better to be mevatel a mitzvah d'rabbanan b'shevi al taseh, by just passively violating a d'rabbanan, rather than being mevatel shvua biyadayim, which is beisr Torah. The shvua, once you take a shvua, becomes an isr Torah. It becomes something that's a daraisa. So better to violate the drabanan b'shevi al taseh rather than the daraisa become maseh. The difficulty that the Ritva contends with is the Gemara Maseches Nazir, which darshens from a pasuk yayin v'shecher yazir, that a nazir is asr b'yein mitzvah kimo yayin shal rishus. That a nazir is not allowed to have a yayin mitzvah like a yayin shal rishus. And the Gemara says, what is yayin mitzvah? So if it's kiddush and avdallah, you're mushba al zemei har Sinai, and the zirus is not going to be chal on that which you're mushba mehar Sinai. So lechora, yayin by kiddush, yayin by avdallah, that's only drabanan, right? We saw in Tosfos earlier in the Masechta here that yayin for kiddush and avdallah, to say kiddush and avdallah probably is both daraisa. But al yayin, that's only to drink the yayin, certainly is only the rabbanan. Yet we still say mushbal kach mi'ar Sinai, and the nazirus is not going to be chal, even though it's only a drabbanan. So the Ritva has to deal with that Gemara. Okay, so he has a major discussion about that issue. But that's the Ritva's chiddush, that nishba levatel is a mitzvah is either only on a mitzvah daraisa, or on a losa se derabanan, right? If the violation of levatel sa mitzvah derabanan would be bekumva asay, so then the Ritva would say that would also be shvur shav. That the shvur would not be chal. It's dafka when the violation of the derabanan is b'shev vialtase, the Ritva would say that better to violate the derabanan b'shev vialtase rather than to violate the shvur. Okay, says the Gemara Amr Ula v'ushen nikar legimul b'nei adam. This whole idea that something is a shvur shav if you're saying something ridiculous is only if three people are aware that the pillar of stone that you're saying is a pillar of gold, three people realize that it's a pillar of stone. But if it's not something that everyone realizes, not something that three people realize, then it's not a problem. Now the Rambam gives the following example. We mentioned on Shabbos. The Rambam says, let's say a person takes a shvua that the sun is larger than the earth. So he says, even though it's very true, and every scientist will tell you that the sun is much, much larger than the earth, since for a lot of people, when they look at the sun, it's not so obvious that it's larger than the earth, he says that's not going to be a shvur shav, because it's not something that's obvious to everybody. But wait a second, the Gemara says, as long as three people know. Now I understand, in the Rambam's times, maybe not everybody knew, but three people didn't, the Rambam was one of only less than three in the world that knew, right? That's impossible. There's definitely more than three people that knew that the sun was larger than the earth. So what's the Rambam going to do with our Gemara? So the Rambam clearly understands, Nikar l'shlosha ben adam means it's obvious without scientific knowledge, just based on the surface. It's very obvious to anyone who's looking at it, just by looking at it, that it's so. When you just look at the sun, you have no idea if the sun is larger than the earth. Mostly because, forget about the fact that the sun is so far away, you don't see the whole earth when you're standing on earth. Right? You have no idea that the sun is larger than the earth. You only know it from scientific knowledge. So that doesn't count. It has to be something that's obvious to people just to the naked eye. It can't be, that's the three people. Three regular guys who don't know anything else just by looking at it. Okay, Nishbal Dover Shiyaf Shalom, Lo Risi Gamal Parech Bav. Your person takes a shvua that if I had not seen a camel flying in the air, Shvua Shri Isi Lo Ka Amar, Mayim Lo Risi. Doesn't say a shvua that I saw it. What's im lo reisi? Had I not seen it? What's that lashon? So the Gemara has two possibilities. Avaya amar tni shvua shereisi. Avaya says, okay, change the words in the Mishnah. It should say shvua shereisi. Rava amar ba omer ye asur kol perus shabala malai im lo reisi gamal parech ba'avir. Rava says, no, he means to say, let all the perus in the world be asur to me if I didn't see a camel flying in the air. But maybe this guy saw a very large bird, and he decided to call that bird Gamla. So he calls that bird a camel. And that's what a shvua was. So it's not ridiculous. It could just be a very large bird. But unless you answer that, no, that can't be what he meant, because we follow what the words that he's saying mean to the general public, not what he had in mind. And no one else calls that big bird a camel. So I don't care what he decided to name it. We don't follow what's going on in his mind. We follow the words that came out of his mouth. But that's not true. Vatani, we have a brisa kishmashbino. So omrim la, when Bezdin is mashbia a person, Bezdin's careful to tell the person havi yodeya shelo al daatcha anu mashbinoscha ela al daateinu val das Bezdin. You should know when you're taking the shvua, it's not based on what's going on in your mind and how you translate the terminology that you're using that the shvua is going to be chal. It's based on the way Bezdin and normal people translate the terminology that you're going to be using. Now, why do they have to tell them that? My taima, lav mishum damrin and dilmas kondori yavle vasuklushma zuze. Maybe, isn't it because we're afraid that maybe we're going to tell this guy to swear that he's already paid back the money, he's already paid back the zuzi, and maybe he's given him back some wood chips, and he decided to call those wood chips money in his own language, he decided to call them zuzi, and that would be a valid shvua had we not told him in advance, look, it's not based on your language, it's based on our language. So you see that normally it's based on the person's own language that he speaks, that's based on his own das. When a person takes a shvua, it's based on their own das. So it says, lo, no, you don't see that at all over there. The reason why they have to tell him that it's not on his own das, kanya derava, nothing to do with language. Over there, it's because of the kanya derava. What's the kanya derava? Situation happened where a person owed someone $1,000. Let's take a number, and he didn't pay it back. He took $1,000, opened up his cane. He had like a fancy cane that you could open up, and it had a hollow inside. And he put the $1,000 in the cane. He went to take the shvua, and the guy, and he said, "Oh, while I'm taking the shvua, can you just hold my cane for me?" And he gave the cane to the person he owed $1,000 to hold. And he said, "I've already given in his hands $1,000." He took such a shvua, and it turned out that Itaka did. He gave it in his hands $1,000, but then he took the cane right back. The guy didn't know that the money was in there, so. So that's why we tell them, no, it's not based on your das, it's based on das bezdin. That's what it's about. It's not about whether we go with the meaning of the words as he's translating them in his own mind. That we for sure don't do. We for sure just follow whatever the meaning of the words as normal human beings understand those words are. Tashema, we have another ayah. We find when Moshe Rabbeinu... Oh, actually, just one little point in that Kanya Derava, Tosos and Amud Beis, it's a misplaced Tosos. Mishum Kanya Rava. Tiny Tosel says, what, Rava in his basin didn't know this din? That when you're mashpia, the guy, you're supposed to tell him that it's shaloa, that he's not taking the shvul das atzmo, he's taking the shvul das basin? So I always thought Pashup Shat was that this whole idea of telling the guy that he's not being mashpia das atzmo was only a later takana after the times of Rava. But Tosfos assumes that that's definitely not the case. No, this was always the rule, that you have to be mashpia aldas, that it's aldas beis and not aldas atzmo. So how did Rava let this guy get away with this? Why didn't Rava make him take a shvua with the right way, that it's not aldas atzmo? So Tosfos says it must be that Rava didn't have a chance to administer the shvua. The guy was kofei to v'nishba. He just took the shvua on his own quickly before Rava had an opportunity to go through the whole process of being mashbiah him. So that's the hechitimsa you have to say, says Tosfos. Okay, says Gemara Vayter, Tashma, v'chein matzinu k'sheshibia Moshe es Yisrael, we find when Moshe Rabbeinu is being mashbiah klal Yisrael. Amar Leni says, du'u shelo al da'itchem ani mashbiah eschem al das hamakom v'al da'ati. You should know it's not based on your own das that I'm being mashbiah you, it's based on the das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and on my das that I'm being mashbiah you. V'emelu kimu my da'amar aloka, why doesn't he just say, fulfill that which God said? Isn't it because Eloka in their mind could be Avodah Zarah, and it's all based on what's going on in their mind? So you see that however they decide to translate the words, that's what the Shavu is going to be on, not based on what the words really mean. He says no, because it's actually true. The actual translation of the word Eloha is Avodah Zarah in many contexts. So you see that it's not only a reference to Hashem Kadosh; it's a reference to Shemos of Avodah Zarah as well. So it's nothing to do with what's going on in their minds. It has to do with the actual translation of the word. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to say Adas Hamakom Valdati? Why couldn't he just say Kimu Torah, fulfill the Torah? So it says, "Marno Chad the Torah." That would imply either Torah Shabbosav or Torah Shabbalpeh, but not both. Okay, Vilema Kimu Shtei Torahs. Why doesn't he say fulfill both Torahs? Torahs Chatas for Torahs Asham. Because once you say two Torahs, then you could translate it as also a very limited sampling of just Torahs Chatas for Torahs Asham. Okay, a better idea. Kimu Kala Torah Kula. Let him say, fulfill the whole Torah. That might be referenced to only Avodah Zarah, because anyone who's covered by Avodah Zarah is as if he's Modah B'Kol HaTorah Kula, and it wouldn't include all the other 612 mitzvahs. Okay, V'Leimelu Kimu Mitzvah. Why doesn't he just say, be Mekayim the Mitzvah? Chad the Mitzvah, that would imply only one mitzvah. Kimu Mitzvos! Tarti, that would imply two mitzvos. Kala mitzvos kulan. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu say that you take a shvuah, you're being mekayim all of the mitzvos? Mitzvah tzitzis, because that would imply the mitzvah tzitzis. Dam rash kula mitzvah tzitzis, connected kula mitzvah kula. The mitzvah tzitzis is shakul connected all the other mitzvahs. Tosus is bothered. Just mitzvah tzitzis? What about avodah zarah? Avodah zarah is also connected kula mitzvahs. Why do we dafka give the example of mitzvah tzitzis as opposed to avodah zarah? So he says, belasha mnei adam lo mikri kula mitzvahs el tzitzis. People don't, when they refer to kula mitzvahs, they might be referring to tzitzis, belasha mnei adam. They wouldn't be referring to avodah zarah. It's just not how people refer to as kula mitzvahs. Maybe Kala Yisurim or whatever, they just wouldn't refer to that as or Kala Torah, but they wouldn't refer to it as Kala Mitzvah. So fine, so we're following what's likely going through their mind. Now, V'leimelu kimu sheish meos v'sholosh esrei mitzvah. Still, Moshe Rabbeinu could have said that you're going to be mekayim the 613 mitzvahs. Ulutameich leimelu al da'ati v'al das hamakom lameli. So it says, Gemara, wait a second, this whole line of questioning is off. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu, even if you're going to have to say that Moshe Rabbeinu had to say al da'ati v'al das hamakom, because otherwise we follow whatever's going on in the swearer's mind, even if it's not the translation of the words, well then why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to even say al das hamakom? Just say you're swearing al da'ati based on the way I translate the words. Why does he have to add in al das hamakom? Ella ki yechid lo tavi afar l'shvosayhu. Obviously, this lashon that Moshe Rabbeinu is adding in is for a different reason altogether. It has nothing to do with the idea that we would normally follow what's going on in their own das. We would not normally follow what's going on in their own das. The reason that Moshe Rabbeinu has to make it al dati v'al das hamakom is to ensure that there's never a hafara for this shvuah. Meaning this became a shvuah, it's a neder shehudar al das rabim. It became like a shvuah that you took al das rabim, and a shvuah that you take al das rabim could never have hafara. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted the commitment to Torah mitzvahs to be absolute and eternal, and something that you can never get out of. That's why he said al dati v'al das hamakom. A couple of quick points. Tosfos over here says, what was the purpose of Moshe Rabbeinu being mashpia klal Yisrael? That what? He didn't want them to violate the mitzvahs, so he made them take a shvuah that they can keep all the mitzvahs. Well, if they're willing to violate all the mitzvahs, why wouldn't they be willing to violate shavua? Right, Tosfos, shavua is just one of the mitzvahs. As Tosfos, tiny little Tosfos, k'sas kasha, ma'isomo elis ha-shavua, why is it going to help? K'mo shayu yare, shi'avdu avodah zarah, k'mo gehenay lirup en yavru ha-shavuah. If he's afraid they're going to violate avodah zarah, so they'll violate a shavuah, which is worse? A shvur of a dezara. So Pash Pshat, I thought the answer was, like we said the other day, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, if a person thinks that he's going to be Mechal Shabbos and he's afraid his Yetzirah is going to get the best of him and he's going to want to be Mechal Shabbos, it's a mitzvah to take a shvur, to be Mezaris himself that he's not going to be Mechal Shabbos. So the Acharonim ask, what do you mean? Shabbos is a much more serious violation than Shavua is. So what does it help to do such a zeros? Elamai, when a person commits with his own mouth and he takes a shvuah and he says, this is my commitment, so maybe he's going to feel more connected to it. So maybe that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. Yeah, you're going to be willing to violate avodah zarah, but if you made a promise to your Rebbe, maybe when you make a promise to your Rebbe, that's going to be more serious. That's like the story with the Chavetz Chaim. The guy wanted to go and move to America, so he went to the Chavetz Chaim for a bracha. The Chavetz Chaim said, hey, everyone in America is Mechal Shabbos in the 1920s. You can go to America, you can be Mechal Shabbos. So he said, I want you to shake my hand and guarantee me with B'tkias Kaf that you're never going to be Mechal Shabbos. So the guy guaranteed him B'tkias Kaf, he's not going to be Mechal Shabbos. Chavetz Chaim let him go to America. Comes to America, and the Nisyonos were tremendous. The Nisyonos to be Mechal Shabbos were tremendous. And he was about to be Mechal Shabbos 1 week, and then he remembers B'tkias Kaf with the Chavetz Chaim. Well, he wasn't worried about Chil Shabbos, and he was worried about B'tkias Kaf with the Chavetz Chaim? Yeah, because when you guarantee your Rebbe, when you make a promise to your Rebbe, to a Moshe Rabbeinu, to a Chavetz Chaim, so then that's more of a commitment. That's what I would have thought. Rabbi Yaakov Emden gives a different teretz to Tosfos Kasher. Yaakov Emden says that no, that the avodah zarah in question is not avodah zarah in the sense of rejecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says you find in Tanakh many of the times that people did avodah zarah, it was a method of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was an emtsai. The cheder egel was an emtsai to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu is not here anymore. We need someone to connect us to God. Who's that going to be? That will be the egel. Pesel Micha, it was an emtsai to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says that was the concern. So since they weren't rejecting the whole system entirely, so therefore they would still be committed to Shavua. Now this idea that it's not going to have a Shavua, Das Rabim, it's not going to have a Farah, Tulsa says, you cannot derive from here that Aldas Shnayim is called Aldas Rabim, because one of the Shnayim was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that doesn't count. You know, you can't be derived from here that the definition of Aldas Rabim, because it's Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's two, so it's Aldas Shnayim. Absolutely not. We can't make any such diuk, Tosso says. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. In Lo Reisi Nachash Kores Beis Abad. The Lo, is there really no such snake? Vahu Davu B'Shnei Shavu Malka. There was one in the time of Shavu the king. Havachad De'achsik Tleis Arvasat Tivno. There was a kind of snake that would be able to eat 13 stables full of tevin of hay at the same time, so it was huge. Amar Shmuel b'taruf. No, so we're talking about, he said he saw a spotted snake, and that snake wasn't spotted, so there is no such thing as a spotted snake that's that big. Kulanami mitzvah trefin says, what are you talking about? All the snakes are spotted. No, but shagavo taruf, where the back of the snake is spotted, and that very large snake, its back wasn't spotted. Okay, shvua shalochal kikar zu shvua shalochal. The person takes shvua that he'll eat this kikar, shvua that he won't eat the kikar. And what did the Mishnah say? If he goes ahead and he doesn't eat the kikar, then he's violated the shvua's bitoy. Frek the Gemara, hashem mishum shvua's bitoy mechayiv mishum shvua's shav lo mechayiv hara yatsa shvua l'shav. If he doesn't eat the kikar, he's only violated the shvua's bitoy. Hasn't he also violated the shvua's shav? Because the shvua's shav isn't violated when you go against what you said. It's when you first utter the shvua. When you say the words, you've already violated the shvua's shav. If he took a shvua that he's going to eat the kikar, then he took a shvua that he's not going to eat it. As soon as he took that second shvua, he's in violation of the shvua's shav. No matter what he does, he violates the shvua's shav. So how could we say if he doesn't eat it, he only violates the shvua's bitoy? You have to say, no, of course he's in violation of Shavuos Shav, but he's even in violation of Shavuos Bitoy if he doesn't eat the kikar. Fine, new Mishnah. Shavuos Bitoy, no Hagis B'Anashim B'Nashim. Shavuos Bitoy is noeg, both men and women, B'Krovim B'Rechokim, both if you are Mevate to do something to someone who's close to you, and you're Mevate to do something to someone who's distant from you, B'Ksherin U'Psulin applies to people who are Kasher, Apostle. You don't have to be Apostle witness, to a Kasher witness, rather, in order to be eligible to take the Shavuos Bitoy. Bifnei Bezin, Shalom Bifnei Bezin applies in front of Bezin and not in front of Bezin. Mipi Atzmo, but you have to take the Shvua on your own. It can't be that someone else was Mashbia you. You have to take the Shvua from your own mouth. And you're chayiv if you violate shvuas bitoy b'mezid malkus. If you do it b'shogei carbon olav yored shvuas shav. Now hagis b'anashim u'b'nashim. Shvuas shav is knowing both on men and women. Baruchokim u'b'krovim, both for ruchokim and krovim. B'ksherin u'psulin. Whether you're kasher to be an aid or not kasher to be an aid, b'fnei bezin v'shalav b'fnei bezin, you could violate shvua shav anywhere. It doesn't have to dafka be a shvua that's in bezin. Umi pi atzmo, and also only if you yourself took the shvua, not if someone else was mashbia you. The chayav nazon makos al shigasa pater. If you violate shvua shav b'mezid, you get malkus. If you violate it b'shogeg, you're pater. Now this seems like a direct stira. We just got through saying that both Shavuos Bitoy and Shavuos Shav, you're only in violation if you take it on your own, not if someone else is Mashbia you. Now the Mishnah says, yeah, if someone else is Mashbia you, both in Shavuos Shav and Shavuos Bitoy, you're going to be Chayiv. Lo achalti ayom lo nachti tefillin ayom mashbiach ani va'amar amein Chayiv. For example, if a person says, I didn't eat today, I didn't wear tefillin today, and someone says, Mashbiach ani, I hereby swear you, meaning I'm imposing a swear on you, and he says amen, that's going to be chayiv, even though it's mipi acherim. So it's a direct stira between the Reisha and the Seif of the Mishnah, and Rashi already on the Mishnah says, what you have to say is that once, and the Gemara is going to say this, once you say amen, that is mipi atzmo. Right? When you say amen, that is not considered that someone else was meshbiya you. If you don't say amen, then it says if someone else was meshbiya you, that would not be effective for shvua shav and shvua's bitoy. Only if you say amen, then it takes on the status of Mipi Atzmo. Amr Shmuel, so that's the first thing the Gemara leads with. Kala ona amein achar shvua, kemotzi shvua b'piv dami. Anyone who says amein after a shvua, it's as if he took the shvua with his own mouth. Tuchsiv, va'amra isha amein amein. Pasuk says, woman says, amein amein. It's clear this way from both our Mishnah and from a Braisa, meaning we're going to have stiras in a Braisa and in a Mishnah individually, each one in its own right, if we don't have this rule that saying amen is as if you said it yourself. How so? The Katani, we have a Braisa that says as follows. Shvuos ha'edus nohages ba'anashim v'lo b'nashim. Nashim. Shvuas Ha'edus is no egg on men, but not for women. Right? If a woman takes a Shvuas Ha'edus, she's not going to be chayiv because a woman is not kosher to be made. Baruch Chokim v'lo b'krovim. And it can't apply by krovim because a karov is possible to be made. B'ksherin v'lo b'psulin. Only by those who are kosher l'hayid, a gambler, or whatever else. People who are apostle are not included in Shvuas Ha'edus. Right? The Gemara will discuss what b'ksherin v'lo b'psulin adds once we already have the previous two categories. Veina no heges al brui in lahayid. And it also only applies, another seems repetitive, only to those who are ra'ui to be made. U'befnei bezin v'shalo befnei bezin. And it applies both in front of bezin and not in front of bezin. Mi pi atzmo, but only if you take the shvua on your own. U'mi pi acher mein chayav na shiichbur ben bezin divra meir. You can only be chayav for shvua se'edos that's done mi pi acherim if you're kofer the knowledge of the testimony in bezin. V'tanya b'braisa, and the braisa says on that Mishnah, shvua se'edos ketzad, what's an example of shvua se'edos? You say to Edom, come testify for me. And they take a shua, we don't know any Edos. They say, we don't know any Edos. He says, okay, I hereby make you swear. Varmu amen, and they say, amen, bein b'fnei bezin, bein b'shalo b'fnei bezin, bein mi piyasmo, bein mi piyacherim, kivan shakafro b'am, once they deny knowledge, chayav in divrei meir, they're going to be chayav. But kashin adadi, don't you see it's a stira? Because it says, mi piyacherim, over here it's a case of mi piyacherim and you're chayav, and we just said before that, Piacherim your potter, Elash, Mabino, Hadal Amen, Hadalo Amen. Must be that there's a difference between when you say Amen, when you don't say Amen. When you say Amen, that's called Piatmo. When you don't say Amen, that's called Mipiacherim, Shema Minas. That's one raya, that answering Amen is the same thing as Mipiatmo. Amar Avinu Mishmei Drav, Masis and Dachanami Deka. Our Mishnah is also a diuk to prove that it's answering Amen is like taking Mipiatmo. The Katani, as we saw in our Mishnah, Shvuas Bito and Nohagas Ba Nashim, Munashim, Rechokim, Rechokim, Bekshirim, Bepsul, Mifnei Bezim, Shal, Mifnei Bezim, Mipiatmo in Mipiacherim Lo, but only if you take the Shvuas Mipiatmo. The Katani Seif, and yet the Sefer says, Zevizet Mushvuas Mipiacherim Chai. That if you take it even piacherim, you're going to be chayiv. Kashin adadi, so isn't the ratio and the sefer direct stira to each other? Elav shmamina hadan amen hadalan amen. So it must be that the answer is one is where you say amen, one is where you didn't say amen. That if you said amen, then it's considered mipiatzmo. The el Shmuel, my kamash Shmuel, so says we're okay. Now we've defended Shmuel to such an extent that Shmuel's become obvious. What did Shmuel teach us? It's enough in a Mishnah. It's enough in a Braisa. So what did Shmuel teach us? And Shmuel taught us how to read the Mishnah. It was in hindsight, yeah, it's obvious, but without Shmuel's comment, we wouldn't have necessarily known how to touch up the Mishnah. Okay, Adron Lach Shmuel Shtayim, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we start Shavuos HaEdus.